Good evening, everyone. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Awesome. Great. I would like to thank Case for the lovely introduction, and he mentioned I'm here on behalf of AIAA. I came down to Australia to meet with all of our members here in Australia. There's about 300 active AIAA members down here, and it's been a whole lot of fun. This is actually my last stop. I went through Sydney and Canberra and Brisbane and Adelaide, and now I'm here in Melbourne. And it's been really lovely. The hospitality's been great. Well, I'm here to talk to you tonight a little bit about my experiences. One of the things that we do as astronauts when we finish a mission is we run around the country in the U.S. with the crew, and we share what happened on that mission. And after I left NASA, I realized I was going to have to come up with a different kind of a talk. And I started to get a little introspective and look back at my life and came up with the talk that you're going to hear tonight. And it really is all about perspectives. A little bit more about my background, and I think I'll launch into the talk. I actually grew up in a small town in Illinois, which is in the center of the United States. And I latched on to becoming an astronaut sometime in middle school, 10, 11, 12 years old. It sort of grew on me and then latched. And I didn't know anything about engineering when I was growing up, so I latched onto physics. I liked science. I liked math. And I was a kind of a why kind of a girl. I drove my parents crazy with that question. And so I latched onto physics, and I made a plan that I was going to study physics all the way through, and then I would apply to NASA, and I would be an astronaut, and life is good. And I got to university, and I discovered engineering. I thought, hey, wow, I can use this physics and do something with it. And so then I studied electrical engineering as my master's while I was working at McDonnell Douglas doing stealth technology. And I did my master's at night school, and then eventually decided to go back and get my PhD in material science, and then I made it to NASA. And along that whole trajectory, I was, you know, it shows you I made a plan, but I really didn't know what the other options were. My horizons were broadened, and I altered my plan, and then my horizons were broadened again, and then I altered my plan. And so it became really interesting to think about, you know, as I was thinking about a talk I could do, it became kind of obvious to me that my whole life was about that, this constant expanding of horizons, and that's the genesis of this talk. And it's all about perceptions and experiences, and how perceptions and experiences that you have in your life change your view, change your ideas, open your mind to certain things. You know, the first time I ever got on an airplane, believe it or not, was when I was 21, and I was working for McDonnell Douglas. And I had been looking forward to that for years, and I was glued to the window that day as I was flying from St. Louis to California, and I'm looking around the plane going, how come people aren't looking out the windows? This is really awesome. Because you get used to it, right? You get used to flying, you don't look out the windows. And I was struck with the joy of being so high above the clouds and watching the Earth go by, even just from an airplane. The first time I left the United States, it was in 1998, I was 24, 25, something like that. And I went to England, which, of course, is pretty low threat coming from the United States because we more or less speak the same language and share a lot of ties. But I was really nervous about it. This was the first time I ever left the United States. And it was interesting. I got to England and was tooling around, you know, visiting different tourist sites in London. I kept looking for water fountains. In the United States, we have water fountains all over the place. So you can, you know, take a water bottle and stop and fill it up at a water fountain, get clean, fresh, free water. And I couldn't find any water fountains. And then I realized, wow, you know, that was a really horizon-opening experience for me, because there's some seats over here if you'd like, ma'am. There was no water fountains. And I thought, wow, I took water fountains for granted. You know, the fact that I can just go anywhere, even jogging in a park, and get water. And that was sort of interesting. It made me realize that, you know, as we grow up, we take things for granted. And you don't realize that until you see things from a different perspective. And then as I traveled around the world, I realized that as human beings, even though we have similar needs and desires and functions, we tackle them way differently. Like, for example, the first time I went to Japan for NASA, I looked in the bathroom at the toilet, and I really didn't want to touch it because there were dials and knobs and buttons and levers. I mean, it looked like a piece of high-tech machinery, and I didn't know what was going to happen. So that was a little scary. And then other places in the world, you know, toilets are a simple hole in the ground. So it's here's something, a basic human function, and we as human beings tackle it really differently. Traffic is another one. I don't know how many have been to India, but the traffic in India is really entertaining. Coming from the United States, where lines mean something, And even in Russia, one day we were driving on the sidewalk, and I'm like, this is not supposed to be normal, is it? And everyone's really calm, and the pedestrians are moving out of the way, and it was really interesting. So it's all about, and every time I had one of these experiences, my view of the world changed a little bit. And so I've had some pretty unique experiences, and I'm going to share tonight with you, some space stories, a little philosophy, and then some of these perception changes that I have experienced over the years. And one of the things I think, I mentioned all these this travel I did for NASA. I think that was probably one of the most interesting experiences besides the flying in space part, which goes without saying, clearly. The arc of my career at NASA was all about the space station. When I was hired in 1996 as part of that class, actually it was a good time to apply to the office because normally they only took about 20 people in a class. That year they took 35. And so my odds almost doubled of getting selected. So yay me for good timing. Timing has a lot to do with it. But they selected so many of us because we were just getting started into the operational phase of the space station program. And as soon as we went through the 2 years of basic training, and we spent time for 2 years learning shuttle systems, station systems, the robotics, the spacewalking, photography, public speaking, we have a whole course of things. As a matter of fact, when I showed up at NASA, they had two stacks of books about this high on my desk that were all the training manuals that I was going to be using in the next 2 years to learn all this stuff. But as soon as you get done with your basic training, that's when you're eligible for your first flight assignment. And while you're waiting for your first flight assignment, you get assigned technical jobs. And so my first technical job was to go to Russia and work with a crew of other people over there from NASA and some of the other international partners to work with the Russians on how we were going to work together as we built and operated the space station. And we were doing things like just simple things even, like translating words from English to Russian so that as we communicated back and forth, we had a concrete vocabulary and lexicon that we were supposed to use. And it was really interesting because here we had 16 countries that were working together to build this station. And we brought with us to the partnership, there's some chairs up over there if you'd like to go up over there. No, it's okay. All of us brought with us to the partnership, our different languages, different cultural approaches to how you organize, different cultural approaches to how you solve problems, different political agendas, different management systems, different English system and the metric system. Yeah, we had to deal with that. And so when we got together to solve problems, I discovered with this huge, wide variety of cultural viewpoints and different lenses that people were used to looking at how to solve problems, if you got a lot of people around a table with a bunch of diverse viewpoints, you get to some really powerfully positive solutions because you can pick out the good pieces of the approach from all those different viewpoints. And so diverse viewpoints brought to bear on solving a problem turned out to be a really powerful thing. Now, was it easy? Absolutely not. It was not easy. It was really hard, especially at the beginning because, just look at the U.S. and Russia. Russia had a space program for 40 years. They knew how to do things. Their way was the right way to do things. That's the way they always did things. And by golly, that was the way this should be done. The U.S. had a space program for 40 years. They knew how to do things. Their way was the right way to do things. And by golly, that's the way things should be done. I mean, it was really hard. We all had to come together, and we had to really listen to each other. And we had to kind of duke it out sometimes and get past some of those we've always done it this way barriers, in addition to the cultural and the language and everything else. But we stuck to it collectively as a group of 16 countries. And I think that's one of the intangible benefits that the space station is providing to the world that it's not really focused on. We focus a lot on the science, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. But from an intangible benefit viewpoint, it really shows everybody what we can do when we put our minds to it. What we can do as a species if we determine that, hey, you know what, we're just going to knuckle down and solve this problem and work together and accomplish X. In this case, X was building this incredibly amazing space station and operating it. And I don't think people really acknowledge or realize that's the power of what the space station really does show us. Because this is really complicated. And for the engineers in the crowd, I think you'll appreciate this. We built this station in different countries around the world, and we launched it in pieces, like a big Lego set, over 12 years, and connected it bit by bit on orbit, and all the pieces fit. the first time. It was absolutely spectacular. We had all these contingency plans on what we were going to do if, you know, took a piece of truss up and it didn't fit, it was going to come down. And there was small minor glitches along the way, but I mean, imagine pieces being built in countries all over the world and coming together for the first time in space, and it's all working correctly. That's a powerfully successful program. And it's a beautiful space station. Every time, I went up three times, as Case mentioned, and every time it was just absolutely spectacular as we were rendezvousing to see the station starting out far away as this point of light. And as the shuttle gets closer and closer and closer, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And it was so incredibly awe-inspiring every single time as it got bigger and bigger and bigger to see this building, this amazing building that we human beings, working in a positive, focused way, managed to put together over the course of a decade. And it's huge. I mean, from edge to edge, in this picture, it's about the size of a football field in length. And then along the cylinders there, you see down the front and the two and the that go crosswise, that's just slightly less than the length of a football field. So the station is huge. It's an incredible, incredible accomplishment. And we got there because we had common goals. And we got there very successfully because we had all these diverse inputs into how to solve the problem. And again, it wasn't easy, but it was incredibly worthwhile. And it was a lot of fun to live on, but I'll talk some more about that.